I was scared to go down front. So having been raised in a Christian home and my father being a minister, I was just scared to go down front. So he came home one evening from work, and I told him, I said, "Dad, I'm ready." Wasn't expecting that. So we got in the car and went to Cedar Crest. There was no one there but me, my dad, and Brother Cephas Norcutt. And I was baptized on a Thursday afternoon around 6 o'clock at the age of 12 years old. So when I think back to being 12, there was a lot I didn't know at 12. There was a lot that I did not realize about baptism at 12. But as I grew and as I matured in the Lord, I realized what all baptism meant for me, what baptism actually did for me. So I want us to just look at what baptism does. What's the purpose of baptism so that we can all reflect back to when we were baptized. Some of us were raised around the church. Some of us didn't know anything about the church till we came in contact with a member of the church. But the thing about baptism is that it doesn't matter if you were raised in a Christian home where you had members of the church, or if someone introduced you to the church, we all came into the Lord the same way. So it doesn't matter how you came to the truth. It's that we all obeyed the gospel and were baptized into the Lord. Baptism is part of our anatomy as disciples. Baptism bonds us together in the Lord. Again, we were all added to the church the same way. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Well, how do we endeavor to keep the unity in the bond of peace? Verses 4 through 6 tells us, realizing that there is only one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. The bond that we share as members of the Lord's body is in the essence of oneness. The fact that we all belong to one body is where we bond. The fact that there's only one way to get in to that one body bonds us together. It's hard to be confused over one. When I leave here tonight and I go out to the parking lot, I'm not going to be walking around confused on which car to get in. Now, there are some cars in there I might like to get in instead of my own. But I only have one key. That one key opens one car. So when I leave here, I'm not out there wandering around the parking lot trying to figure out how am I going to get home. I only have one car. Think about the ark. When Noah built the ark, it was one ark. One ark. You either were in that ark or you weren't. Now, I can imagine those people walking around saying, "You know, I really don't like this ark. I don't like the woodwork on this ark. I don't like how Moses built this ark. You know what? I prefer to have an ark with more than one window. How are we going to get circulation in the ark with just one window?" Wasn't the case. One ark. Salvation was found in one ark. Noah's family had to bond and unify in that one ark if they wanted to be saved. This is what baptism does for us. Number one, to enter the kingdom, we must be baptized. Go to John chapter 3 and verse 1 through 5. John chapter 3 and verse 1 through 5. And it reads, there's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Nicodemus was a little bit confused, but there's one thing that Nicodemus understood. In order to be born, Nicodemus understood that being born indicates something. That indicates that you have to come out of something. So a baby that's born has to come out of the mother. An animal that's born, a horse that's born, a cow that's born, you have to be in something in order to come out of it, in order to be born. Nicodemus understood that. He said, how can I, being an old man, good question, Nicodemus, because he didn't understand. How can I, being an old man, enter again into my mother's womb so that I can be born again? But Christ says to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that's what baptism is. Baptism, we actually have to go down in something, fully covered, fully immersed, to come out in order to be born. That's what it means to be born. Anything that reproduces, something has to be inside in order to come out. That's how baptism puts us into the kingdom. To be buried with Christ into his death, we must be baptized. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And I won't be long. Romans chapter 6. Verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So far, baptism puts us in the kingdom. Baptism allows us to be buried with Christ into his death. Thirdly, to get into Christ and to put on Christ, we must be baptized. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. Now, I'm just going over this. I know most of us are already familiar with this. We already know this, and we probably heard this 100 times. But just to help us be more appreciative to what happens in baptism, what we gain by being baptized. In Galatians chapter 3, in verses 27 and 28, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So if we want to be in Christ, and if we want to put Christ on, we have to be baptized. He goes on to say, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. That's exactly what Ephesians chapter 4 says. One brings us together. One bonds us together. We become the body of Christ after baptism. We don't become individuals. We become the body of Christ. Look at the verse 28. There is no distinction as it relates to getting in Christ. He said, bond or free, male or female. We all get in Christ. We all put on Christ the same way. It's not a different way just because we've been around the church all of our lives. There's no rite of passage. No one said, well, Larry, since you've been around the church all your life, you know, just skip baptism. The only way for me to be a member of the Lord's church was I had to make the decision to obey the gospel and be baptized, and the Lord added me to the body. If we want to be saved for salvation, we have to be baptized. We all know Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So those two go together, but go to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, and I'm looking at verses 20 and 21. And it reads, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth now, does also now save us. Not to put in the way of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Christ. He says the like figure looking at Noah and his family being saved by water. Noah and his family being saved by water, that water did two things. It saved Noah, but it got rid of the sin. That's what baptism does for us. It saves us, but it washes our sins away. So I don't understand how the statement can be made, or even the thought given any validity, that baptism doesn't matter. Here, Peter says baptism does also now save us. Baptism is essential to our salvation, to have our sins remitted. For remission of sins, we have to be baptized. Remission, it just gives the idea of sending away, to send away. In Acts 2, in verse 38, very familiar scripture. After Peter preached the sermon, they were pricked in their heart. In verse 37, and they asked Peter, in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, I always thought that if baptism was not essential, seeing the number of souls that were saved on that day, wouldn't it have just been easier to just say, bow your heads and let's pray? Wouldn't that have been easier than baptizing 3,000 people? But when they asked Peter, what shall we do? Peter responds and says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then in verse 47, to be added by God to his church, we have to be baptized. We know that the addition didn't take place till after the baptism. So we first have to be baptized, and then God will add us to his church. And God doesn't add us to just any church. He only has knowledge of one. Well, let me say, he has only produced one. Does he know about these others? Oh, I'm sure he does. But he only produced one. So there again, there's no confusion. In Ephesians chapter 4, we read of one body. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, we learn what the body is. The body is the church. So when we are baptized, when we obey the gospel, and God adds us to his church, he's only adding us to one church. What else does baptism do? Baptism washes away our sins. In Acts 22 and verse 16, you remember Paul's conversion? Here again, baptism has to be essential. We know Christ said it in Mark 16, 16, but here in Acts 22, at Paul's conversion, you know, you have to wonder, Christ had a one-on-one with Paul. So when Paul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Christ could have said, Paul, just put your hands in there. Just put your hands in there. Paul, get down on your knees. Now, he's one-on-one with Christ. But Christ told him, you need to go down and somebody will tell you what you need to do. So we know that baptism has to be essential because Christ made Paul, Saul, go down and listen before he obeyed the truth. Because Christ himself had already said that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So he couldn't just save Paul without baptism. He had already said that baptism was essential. The encounter with the two thieves were before the church was established. And we hear that a lot. So here with Paul, this is after the church was established. So Paul had to be baptized. The two thieves were prior to the church being established. So at that point, Christ could do whatever he wanted to do. Christ could do whatever he wanted to do. And he chose to save them men the way he did, but that was his prerogative. That was before the establishment of the church. To get into the church, we must be baptized. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So here, again, it doesn't matter where we came from. It doesn't matter your education, whether you have one or not. It doesn't matter about our income. Thank God. Thank God. At this point in my life, thank God about that. But there are a lot of things that just do not matter when it comes to obeying the gospel. We still all have to get into the church the same way. And that's what makes it beautiful. Because Christ, there are certain things Christ is just not concerned about. Education, Christ could care less. Well, how do I know that? Look at some of the apostles he chose. They weren't teaching school. They weren't running a business. They were fishing. Now, if we were going to start something, we would go and get what we would think would be the smartest people we know in that particular industry. Or we would go get people that are educated in a certain market to help us grow whatever it is that we're doing. Christ didn't do that. Christ takes us where we are and helps us to get where we need to be. So he goes and gets fishermen. So it just doesn't matter where we are in life. We all come into the Lord's church the same way. And we are all bonded together because of baptism. You ever been somewhere on a job and you find out that somebody is a member of the church? You remember how you respond? You new to a job and then you find out somebody is a member of the Lord's church and you immediately think, man, okay, they were baptized into the body. We believe the one church, one Christ, one Lord. You know how you feel when you run into somebody? Sometimes you can be at the store, be talking to somebody, and then you find out they're a member of the Lord's church. Immediately, there's a bond. Why? Because we know we all obey the gospel the same way. Immediately, there's a bond. Just Christmas night, I stopped by, my wife and family, we stopped by and visited a family. And there was a young lady sitting there. I knew her face. She's been here before. She's a member of the church. And we were talking. She's in education in Irving. And I mentioned Ed Henderson. I said, he's a principal in Irving. And she lit up and said, my friend so-and-so, she's a member of the church. She's at that school. She doesn't even know Ed is a member of the church. I can't wait to tell her. And we were both excited. Here we have two members of the Lord's church at the same place, and they don't even know each other. They're bond. We're excited about them meeting, and they don't even know. It's the bond that we have in Christ Jesus. So as I close, looking at what we studied this year, the knowledge and behavior, purpose, and the bonding, understanding that we all came into the Lord's church the same way, and just looking at the examples that I gave tonight on what baptism does for us. I mean, who doesn't want to be in the kingdom? Who doesn't want to be buried with Christ? Who doesn't want to be in Christ? Who doesn't want to be saved? Who doesn't want their sins washed away? Who doesn't want to be added to the Lord's church? I think everybody want to be saved. I think everybody wants to be in Christ. Once we realize the significance of baptism and what it's done for us, once we come to the knowledge of what baptism has done for us, it'll change our behavior. When our behavior changes, we can recognize our purpose. Once we recognize our purpose draws us together. And then what do? We bond. But it goes reverse. Once we bond, once we come together, we'll recognize our purpose. Recognizing our purpose, we'll change our behavior. And once we change our behavior, we can fill ourselves with God's knowledge on what it takes to save this world. So baptism is where we all started. It's where we all started. So I think closing this year, the Lord bless us to see the next year, that we just reflect on how we all got started in the Lord. None of us was born members of the church. None of us was born knowing everything about the church. We obeyed the gospel, we were baptized, and we grew as a result of obeying the gospel. If you're here tonight, and maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel, maybe you didn't know all that about baptism, it's possible. I didn't know all of it at the age of 12. Tonight, you can obey the gospel. You don't have to wait till next year. Tonight, We're not going to wait. We're not going to wait. We don't have baptism once a month or once a quarter. It's that important. We want you to be in Christ. We want you to be saved. We want you to put on Christ. So it's that important. We'll baptize you tonight. And then God will do his part. He'll wash your sins away, and he'll add you to his church. If you're here tonight and you stand in need of prayer, we ask that you come as we stand and sing the Savior's invitation.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I'm calling you, me by.